Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here, encouraging you with inspirational stories. Yes, inspirational stories to share with family and friends. Welcome to The Good Life. How important is dialogue in university settings among scholars with different ideas? Why is the intersection of science and religion an important topic? Where might such discussions lead a university, a state, or a nation? What if these discussions were at Harvard and MIT and universities across the U.S.? Reverend Dave Tom joins us to give a glimpse of how this is taking place and the impact it is having. According to 1 Peter 1:13, Dave has prepared his mind for action to facilitate roundtables. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program, well, dear friend, is to share how the love of Jesus Christ makes a difference in the lives of people, even Dave Tom. I'm talking about the love of Jesus so strong that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ reaches out to you, calling you to himself. Will you turn? Will you turn to Jesus? Will you turn from your way to God's way? That's called repentance. That's our prayer, dear friend. And if you know the Lord, look, you're going to be encouraged today. I really do believe that. Reverend Dave Tom is president of the Leadership Connection. He is the founder and co-chair of the Cambridge Roundtable on Science and Religion, a program that has grown from roundtables at the five colleges in Amherst to roundtables at locations including Harvard, MIT, Dartmouth, Yale, Brown, Columbia, Chicago, Cornell, Duke, Northwestern, Penn, Princeton, Chicago, Berkeley, Stanford, Georgetown, Ohio State, Minnesota, Tulane, UC San Diego, and University of Wisconsin-Madison. These programs are sponsored by a grant from the Templeton Foundation, the John Templeton Foundation. Dave Tom, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. Glad to be here.
Dave, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Liverpool, New York, at the time the largest high school in New York State outside of the city boroughs.
What was it like growing up there in Liverpool?
I enjoyed my childhood, or let's just say young adulthood. I enjoyed friends and classroom activity, played sports, just felt like I was living in a kind of ordinary life. But then I know you'll get to this, but then I met people that believed really urgently in Jesus.
Well, let's touch on that. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's going to overlap with this, but who influenced you most? Who would you say influenced you most, Dave, in your growing up years?
In my growing up years, I could safely say the influence of my own dad was the most important and most welcome influence in my life. I revere my dad to this day. A strong intellect, a true athlete, a loving husband, a loving father. Had three sons, never knew anybody as a favorite. I always felt like I was still, you know, like equal among the favorites. but really, I felt like he taught me by his actions even more than his words. And I've never forgotten that. And I still think he's a hero to me to this day.
What is your dad's name, Dave?
His name is Richard Tom.
Richard Tom. You know, it's not always where a son thinks of his father as a hero. Sons long for their fathers to be their heroes, and you've experienced that. Dave, as we talk about the influence of Jesus in regard to your spiritual journey, talk to us more about that. Who came into your life during those early years that impacted your faith?
Well, a fellow with the high school ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, now known as CRU, and their high school ministry is now known as Student Venture. This guy would hang out after football practice and wait with the rest of us for our late buses home and just talk to people casually. And I first noticed him. I thought, well, the only people that do this kind of thing are in cultic activities. And I knew at least a little bit about that. So I kind of thought he was bad news. I even, you know, intimidated him on purpose a few times, but he didn't flinch. So, you know, suggesting he shouldn't be there, what business does he have, and that kind of thing. And one time he just caught me standing by myself, minding my own business. And he said, I know you're concerned about my being here. Can I share with you exactly what I tell people when I get a chance to tell them? And I said, not here. He said, well, I could visit you at home. And I was thinking, I'll just find a time when I'm not, when no one else is home except me, so I don't get seen with a religious fanatic. So I thought I might be telling him some things that he needed to know. And turns out he was telling me things that I needed to know.
Well, what were those things? What happened when he did come over? What kind of interaction did you have?
Well, it turns out he was going to use a little gold booklet that I ended up getting to know pretty well. But in that little gold booklet, it was just an explanation that God loved me and had a plan for my life. But because I go my own way, I miss out on that. And that his message in this booklet was that Jesus was the solution to knowing who God is and experiencing his plan for my life, and that I just needed to submit to Jesus. Well, I felt like in my religious upbringing, I already had a handle on this. And so I thanked him for coming. I put the booklet in a drawer and didn't plan on really having this again. I thought, you know, I think like all youth, we generally think we know enough to get by and we're good enough to get by. So I think I'll just carry on in my own way. But I still thought that I was carrying on my own way, the way God wanted me to. So I run into this guy again. And for some reason, I don't know why I said this, but I said to the guy, sure, I'll go to your weekly meeting because it meets at another football player's house. And I waited till after the football season to spend this little bit of time. I even remember my dad drove me over because I still didn't have my license yet. I was that young in high school. And I remember looking right in my dad's eyes and said, Dad, I don't know why I'm here, but I promise you'll do this again. And then I go to the door. And I think this could be amusing to some of your listeners who maybe have parents of kids in youth groups or something like that. So I go to the door. I see the guy's mom, Mark's mom, and Mark's girl, come down to greet me because he's banished to his bedroom to do his homework. And I said, why is that? And she said, well, he spends too much time in youth groups. And I thought, what's a youth group? I didn't even know. So she let me in. And I look around the room and I don't know a soul except the other guy that was standing around meeting and greeting other football players. So you know what's funny, Danny, that to this day I met a guy named Greg who I didn't really, you know, but he took an interest in just greeting me. And I thought, well, you know, this is interesting. The people here in this room seem to have a genuine friendship with each other, because I could see it was the whole of high school was represented. Cool people, not so cool people, all different kinds of representations of diversity. And I thought, oh, this is really interesting. And to this day, I still know that guy named Greg. He later went on to become a pastor, and we reunited our friendship just a couple of years ago. And every time I go back into town to Syracuse, I go see Greg. So that's how remarkable it was to experience what I later learned is a genuine love that people have for each other in Jesus I thought it was kind of there. I thought it was a guy that, you know, was pretty friendly with everybody in high school and didn't look down on anybody. But I didn't know that there was more to the scriptures than just liturgy, or that there was more than just good sayings, or more than just guidance for daily life. I didn't know that you could know Christ in a personal way, and you can count on him to answer you when you need an answer most. And at worst, you'll wait, but the wait will be worth it. And I didn't really get that when I first encountered Larry, and I didn't really get it when I first ran into Greg. But over time, I learned that death and resurrection of Christ was critical to understanding I could be forgiven, and that forgiveness was based on what Jesus did for me and not what I'm doing for God. Not at all what I'm doing for God, which is what I was thinking. So knowing that that humbles me, that this greatest, smartest, sharpest, most daring, most unbelievable person would actually have died as a result of betrayal and jealousy, and that I would benefit from that. It just blows my mind.
You're listening to Reverend Dave Tom. Dave is president of the Leadership Connection. He is also the founder and co-chair of the Cambridge Roundtable on Science and Religion, a program that has expanded across the United States. When we come back from our break, you're going to hear more from Dave. You want to find out more about Dave and the Cambridge Roundtable? Go to cambridgeroundtable.org. Yes, visit there, cambridgeroundtable.org. When we come back, how did Dave Tom's life grow from his teens into his 20s? When did he sense a call from God to join Crew, or at the time Campus Crusade for Christ? That and more when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Under Dave Tom's leadership, after 20 years and hundreds of roundtables, professors and university chaplains are chairpersons and coordinators at 20 locations, making invitations to faculty colleagues on campus and those nearby at more than, get this now, more than half of the top 77 schools in the United States. Dave Tom joins us. Thanks for being with us today. You can find out more about this program. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, look, you can get this program in its entirety. Just go to drdanny.live. Podcast is yours to hear, yours to share. And to find out more about Reverend Dave Tom and his incredible ministry, go to cambridgeroundtable.org. Dave, how did your life as a follower of Jesus grow from your teens into your 20s?
Well, Danny, I felt like one of the things that was shown me in the scriptures was how easily the disciples of Jesus would talk to other people about who he is and who he was because of their relationship with him. And I would share my faith with some people in high school and realize that, I grow from learning how to love other people. And most people are loving in a way back to me. And so it really just becomes sharing your life with other people that is how you communicate who Christ is. And I wanted to, knowing that what Scripture tells us is that if you don't really know who Jesus is in a personal way, you don't experience life as well as it was meant to be lived. So I was just thinking of other ways to share my faith with more people. And by the time I'm a senior now at Liverpool and playing football, it was really a special moment when I learned that the first coach that we were playing against was also a Christian, and that one of the assistant coaches on our team was a Christian. So I knew that we had special communication between the three of us. That was exciting. So I thought, I just want to take this up a level when I'm in college and see how that would go. So I went to a secular university on purpose, the largest one I could and the most challenging that I could, took the most challenging classes, ended up with a philosophy degree. And then I wanted to go into ministry with Campus Crusade or CRU into the campus ministry. And so I did. And my first assignment was the University of Pennsylvania. And then I don't mind telling you that I went from Penn to student ministry at MIT, then student ministry at the University of Massachusetts, and worked only with athletes there. And then from there, because my interactions with coaches were as exciting as my interactions with players were, I said to myself at age 39, I said, I may die on campus, and I've got a lot of years to live. Perhaps the gatekeepers of the actual university are people that need to be reached, and I don't know anybody who's really doing that good a job doing it. So I was counting on the Lord giving me some insight into how to do this, and I felt like that same just being personal with people would have been the best way to approach faculty in some way. And that's how the roundtable, as a means of gathering people in a relational way, came to be.
Take us further. Take us, Dave, take us back to how this grew at the five colleges.
Okay.
There in Amherst, and also how it grew into what became your chaplaincy at MIT and the blossoming of the roundtables.
There are many different people who have practiced hospitality with me in many different ways, where I was a beneficiary of people's generosity with food and with time and with just being casual and not uptight about things. This started back when I was first won to Christ by the people that won me to Christ and discipled me early on, just taking me into their home, taking me to their dinner table, just making me a part of their family. And so when I got my first professional, I'm a professional Christian now at a leading Ivy League university at University of Pennsylvania. And I wanted to start an athletes ministry. And all we did was make sure that we had milk and brownies or cookies or whatever else we could have on hand. And we just make it so that people felt welcomed, warm, relaxed. Now, this is a place where they can let down and be themselves. So this carried on through fraternity ministry at MIT. And then I went over to UMass, and it was all Division I athletes on a higher level. And it was remarkable that I felt like God just keeps telling me, just host people for meals and actually focus on populations one at a time. Because people feel more comfortable when they're with other people like themselves. I realize it's important to mix and it's important to have a diversity of friends in your life. But when you're at your most vulnerable, you're the most fearful. And and when you're fearful, I got to meet your need. When you're fearful, I got to protect you. So I protect you with other people around that are just like you. And then you learn how to grow out of that and to meet other people that are different from you. So that's how I knew athletes just wanted to be by themselves at first, and then they're willing to stretch themselves after that. And that's how I knew that faculty probably wanted, if they're gonna cross the threshold from their office door to a door where I am, and walk into something that's being run by a professional religious person, that could hurt their reputation. That could create confusion for people that know them. And so I got to protect them. And so I chose to have these round tables on a turf that is safe and familiar to them. For instance, a faculty club, which is really just an ornate dining room. But it's where you have professional meetings. So we treat this as a faculty seminar dinner discussion. And because dinner is such a delightful thing to have with colleagues, that's why we went in that direction. And that's just an outgrowth of, I mean, you can see even in Jesus's life in the New Testament, he spends more time having dinners with his, well, let's just say that they weren't all enemies, but they were people that are other professional religious people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the religious leaders of the day were people that he had dinner with, because it was how you would see eye to eye with somebody or get a chance to do that on the most basic level. And I think that Jesus did that in order to give them a last chance to do the right thing. And then we know that the right thing was not done. He faced an unjust execution. Now, I don't expect to have an unjust execution happen to me. I'll put it that way. I know how to navigate in this world, and I don't expect that at the present time faculty have anything against me. And by and large, I'm so thankful that whatever it is that I've learned from whatever it is God has to tell me, I've managed to have almost like an error-free history of relating to faculty, for the most part, for 99.99%. Some people are just going to be offended no matter what you do. So for the most part, I think it's something everybody should look into, is how they can find a way to relate to people that are either just like them, or that they find a way to say, hey, what's it going to be like in their world? What do they need to have safety and protection and a comfortable way to relate to anything you have to say? And once you figure that out, sky's the limit.
In what ways, Dave, were your instincts developed through the years of chaplaincy work that you did? You were on campus at Penn, you were on campus at Amherst, UMass Amherst, and your work with the Five Colleges. And you were also a chaplain at MIT for decades. What did God teach you during those times?
I'd say, Danny, two things that might make a meaningful difference in people's lives as they're listening. Never shy away from being upfront about who you are, where you're from, what you're about. When I have a professor privately, they'll know that I have a relationship with Christ and that I think that they would benefit from being so in that as well. And it just takes saying yes to Jesus. And if you throw it out there put gently and firmly and with intellectual foundation that most faculty seem to think is necessary, and I agree with them, then you've opened that door. Because if you never open that door, you've never really been true about who you are. You've never really been true about where you believe they would benefit from being. They may disagree, and that's fine. They may feel differently about how you approach things, and that's fine. But if you never open the door, you'll never get anywhere. So I think that's what I've learned. And what else can I say? The other parts that you learn are just you want to love people in any way you can. It's only appropriate to ask so many personal questions, and it's only appropriate to share so much personal information. So you just have to learn over time what's appropriate to your audience. And I realize maybe a lot of people like working with kids, and that's a whole different audience. And in fact, I would be scared to death of a room full of third graders compared to a room full of professors. That's just, you know, how God's designed me, or failed to design me, because I'm no good with third graders, but I'm really okay with faculty. So I just learn over time. And God, you know, God puts a desire in your heart, and you pursue it. He can open the door, shut the window. You know, it just kind of works that way. God just shows you your way around.
Meaningful words from Reverend Dave Tom. Through Dave Tom's roundtables, when we come back from our break, you'll hear more from him. But through Dave Tom's roundtables, as many as 100 professors gather at a time over dinner and discussion, following short presentations from colleagues and others, addressing their observations on the intersections of science, philosophy, and faith. Oh, what discussions are had on those roundtables. We've got Mr. Roundtable with us today, Reverend Dave Tom, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
All right, you want to go to CambridgeRoundtable.org. Again, that's CambridgeRoundtable.org. Reverend Dave Tom is president of the Leadership Connection. He is the founder and co-chair of the Cambridge Roundtable on Science and Religion. Roundtables have grown to more than 20 locations and are sponsored by a grant from the John Templeton Foundation's roundtables across the United States. Dave, share with us about the growth of Cambridge Roundtable from Harvard and MIT to Yale, Brown, Dartmouth, and other Ivies and beyond.
Danny, I'd be glad to. And I'm going to let the listeners know that you are a partner with what I do in the Cambridge Roundtables. And I am really blessed by your participation with where we are and where we continue to go. So thank you for being willing to jump in there and meet faculty with who you were already doing. I mean, when I met you, I didn't know that you were already active in campus ministry. I just felt like if I offered you the opportunity to get a little deeper on one side, you'd be willing to go. So thank you for joining me.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you for inviting me in. And it's a privilege to serve with you. And it's a privilege to serve our faculty.
That's right. To serve these faculty who no one else really wants to serve faculty. I think how many students really don't like their professors. I think about how they feel about that when they go home. So we love professors, don't we? So All I can tell you is that when things got started in Amherst, which they did in 2002, I just have to speed through it because there's so many details. But I found a way to get funding from somebody who had just a little bit left over after giving it to another ministry. And they said, we'll supply funding for you to have three people visit your campus as guest speakers. And they gave me a list. And I thought, oh, great. Okay, I'll pick one. And then I told them that I wanted to have that person be featured at a dinner. And they said, well, that's a nice idea, but you're going to have to raise the money and ask permission for that professor to be featured at that dinner because he's only going to go there to speak to a large audience. And I thought, okay, well, I'll ask him. And I worked with another friend, and he got him to speak to a large audience, and I got him to speak to a dinner. And the dinner was a little bit rushed, and the Q&A afterwards was given plenty of time. I was okay with how it turned out, but then I thought, there's got to be a few tweaks we need to do this after this first one. Then that ministry came back and said, well, you know, we said we were going to send three people to you. We're only going to send two. And I said, okay. So I got a friend of mine to cover the expenses involved in the second roundtable, which gave more time to dinner. And that way it was more people talking to each other around their dinner table than in a large group setting where, you know, you can imagine there might be 50 people and they're popping up one at a time. Better to contain that to a smaller amount of time and give more time to people having dinner. Well, with that one change in our second roundtable ever, that was a pattern that we've stuck with ever since. And, I saw that I could have these three round tables. That was great. And then I ran out of money. And so I took some time to take some seminary classes. A pastor of my biggest donor walks into the door. And the pastor says, Dave, Tom, what are you doing here? And I'm thinking, oh, no, he's going to go back and tell the donor that Dave's just wasting his time taking classes instead of doing that roundtable thing. And I said, well, hey, I ran out of money about doing those roundtables. And he said, listen, you got to talk to a friend of mine. And I said, okay. And the friend said, I'll give you my last $5,000 that I have set aside from a grant that I was given to me by somebody else. And I said, okay, great. So I used that money to invite a Harvard professor to come to Amherst to speak on Copernicus. And he's a Christian professor, and so he was basically explaining that there was a Christian message in Copernicus's interest in science, and it went over very well. And this professor was very interested in the World Series game the Sox were in, and a presidential debate that was that same evening, and he wanted me to rush over there to his hotel so we could get back to that. And I said, well, sir, actually, the remarks you made at dinner, which was that you wish we had these at Harvard, I'd like to see them at Harvard. Would you like to see them at Harvard? Really? And he said, I really would. And I said, how about this? I'll do all the work. Your name is on the invitation to give me credibility, and we'll get the most credible person we can have to launch our roundtable. And it was a certain professor, Sir John Polkinghorne, is both a physicist and a priest in England. And at the time he was a big name in astronomy. So we featured him as the speaker, and this got the attention of a local ministry leader and his interest in evangelism in New England. And before I actually had Sir John Polkinghorne speak at Harvard, which was now launching away from what I was doing in Amherst, the donor said, listen, I don't know what it costs to run these things, but I'll give you whatever you need. And when you run out, just ask me for more. And I said, hey, you know, if we can run roundtables in Cambridge and everything goes well, can your donations also continue to serve Amherst? And he said, why not? So that particular donor, with that particular interest in evangelism and outreach, believed in me and believed in these roundtables because he was doing it for years and years and years. And then I realized that he would not fund anything outside of New England. but I wanted to take roundtables outside of New England. So that donor gave us a chance to start up at Yale and at Dartmouth and at Brown. And so we had 5 roundtables in New England, but then we wanted a 6th in New York City. And once I started reaching out to the Templeton Foundation and asked them if they would fund what it really alerted them to the fact that this had grown so fast and so vibrantly, well-attended roundtables on every campus and leading campuses in the U.S. They said, "Yeah, we want to take a chance on investing in you a little bit more." And so after 2 1-year grants, they gave us a 3-year grant. Wouldn't you know, the 3-year grant coincided with the pandemic. And as a result, we were still doing roundtables, but it was costing us less to do them. So with money left over in the grant, we invited 8 more roundtable sites to join us. And we feel like we can see all 20 sites, almost all of them, 18 out of 20 sites will have conducted in person by the end of this fall. And that sets us up to prove that we are successful no matter where we go, more or less, because, let's just say it's hard to beat a chance to meet colleagues from other departments and other schools in your immediate area and talk about something that the university is very reluctant to sponsor themselves. They won't, for fear of appearing to side with one side or the other. And we somehow have navigated the sensitivities necessary to promote a discussion on science and religion without favoring anybody or any philosophy that the university would find abhorrent. They're okay with let's just say, oh, those professors, yeah, they're meeting to talk about science and faith in a general way, philosophy in a general way. No need to try to stop them. Give them room to do what they're doing. And I've even had, at the time, the president of Harvard write me a letter saying that she really appreciated how we were doing and what we were doing among faculty. So I appreciate the respect the university has shown. And Danny, if there's nothing else in the newspapers that alarm us more, it's what's new in science, because people sometimes fear science is going to run amok or go beyond its boundaries. And the other things that make us worried are what happens in the headlines in religion, because often bloodshed is the next thing on the agenda when religion is tough between nations. So we're taking 2 things that are always in the news and asking, well, are there any intersections that we can talk about? And how does what we see in science affect how we see religion or our faith? And how do the things that we know about in our faith affect our views on science? And it's a worthwhile conversation. Even the most zealous atheists feel like the conversation needs to be had, because that's the only way we can kind of come to terms that we can understand each other on. We have to talk. We have to have interaction about these 2 very important things.
You're listening to Reverend Dave Tom. Reverend Dave Tom is the founder and co-chair of the Cambridge Roundtable. He's the founder and president of the Leadership Connection, through which the roundtables have emerged. When we come back, well, I'm going to press in just a little bit more with Dave. Where might such discussions lead a university, a state, and a nation? We'll talk about that, and as we normally try to do, is talk about stuff relating to struggles we face often on a personal basis, and maybe even a time of prayer with you and for you. Stay with us, dear friend. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped, and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house, and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
So we trace back to 2003. 2003 was when Dave Tom became founder and president of the Leadership Connection. The Leadership Connection is a religious nonprofit organization formed to access and resource individuals in societal and organizational leadership positions for spiritual, social, and intellectual excellence. It grew into the Cambridge Roundtable, and the roundtables now are in 20 locations across the country, reaching faculty at more than half of the top 77 schools in the United States. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. Danny Yamashiro here with Dave Tom. It's a privilege to have him with us. You can find out more about the ministry, Cambridge Roundtable, at cambridgeroundtable.org. Dave, where might such discussions that you have facilitated so well in an expansive way, where might such discussions lead a university, a state, and maybe even a nation?
Well, that's a great question, because when the Templeton Foundation evaluates how well we're doing at what we do, they have two ways of doing it. They can count the number of people sitting in seats that we report to them, and they can say, well, okay, a lot of people want to come to what you do, but what's the outcome in their own personal lives? And they want to see the professor writing the words on an emailed review that said, I'm more interested now in reading something about religion, or maybe they'll be more specific about faith. I'm more interested in getting a classroom to respond to some things about faith. So for faculty to reach beyond what they're normally maybe invested in doing and explore faith professionally, not just personally, but professionally, that's where Templeton says, that proves to us that you are having an impact, although they also value personal impact. Now, the Templeton Foundation is not a Christian organization, but they truly believe that the more people of faith and science have relationship, that the world's a better place. So can't argue with that. And so that's where they like to see us go. So when you ask about a nation, I think that if the leading intellectuals of America, which would be the faculty at Ivy League schools and schools like that, are humble enough to admit that they are submitting their interest to the interests of Scripture or the church or God Himself, then that's very interesting, because what else could they possibly do that would open up their views on things? What is it possible that those in the biological sciences will have more reverence for the sanctity of human life that they're probably dealing with? But how are they going to make sure that they're dealing with human life in a truly humanistic fashion? Which means that humans are more than just mechanical devices that are slippery. What is it about humans that makes them special? Are they made in the image of God? And what makes the relationships that they have special? So it I think it continued. We are urgent about shaping how professors see themselves as persons, as people, and therefore how they treat other people and how they educate them. Do they treat them as more like information vaults, or do they treat them as distinctly individual persons of integrity that deserve respect and deserve to be educated wholly and not just for data's sake? So I think you asked a question about how we affect nations, could affect nations. I think it's also on the personal level. Danny, I can't think of how many different topics I've run into at roundtables. I have no clue, you know, about the intricacies of people's disciplines, and that automatically humbles me. But it offers me a chance to be even further humbled when I might propose that anything that Jesus has to say or the scriptures have to say would have an impact on that particular discipline. And I'm not going to get there by being boastful, and I'm not going to get there by looking like I know more than I do, pretending that I'm something more than I am. So if distinctly I wear humility as I should and not inappropriately, then I'm also able to just be myself, and this could be influential, and people could adopt a better, humble perspective themselves. You know, there's humility in just listening to other people. There's humility in just giving people a chance to be themselves and share what they have to say. And they could say it all wrong, but if you're listening, you'll hear something that's meaningful to them, and you'll hear what it is that would minister to them, even though they may not have said it very well, because you're tuned into them as a person, not just them as an information vault, as a data storage center. So that's an important thing to realize, is that as much as you can talk about subject matter, you're talking to subjects, and people are the most important thing that are at roundtables. Not the speakers. Message so much as the speaker, not the topic you're discussing around the table, but the people at the table.
Spoken so well, Dave, from a heart of humility and a heart of grace. And I know you live that. You love people, as Jesus says, to love one another. You talk about the human level. You talk about humans as made in the image of God. We can't go far in talking about the human experience. Yes, made in the image of God, but also experiencing bumps along the way. Sometimes trials, difficulties. A bit personal here, but to the degree of your comfort level. How has the Lord helped you through trying times?
Yeah, I've had my share of trying times, and I imagine everybody has. I think having the big picture that Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so, is not only just true, but that is like so true, layer upon layer upon layer. I can't believe that even Danny, when I talk to a person, a professor about my faith, they'll be more interested in me saying and answered exactly the way you asked it, which was, how do you get through tough times? How do you know that it's God talking to you and not just your empty stomach or your headache, you know? And I said, you take the time to get to know the Lord on the good times and the bad times, the high times and the low times, and you get a sense for who he is and what he has to say to you. So that when the low times are there, you know it's the same Lord that met you on the mountaintop is the same Lord that's meeting you in the valley, and if you're humble enough to admit that you make mistakes, and that their time will tell whether you'll learn from them or not, I keep finding ways that I need the Bible to assure me about what to do in trying times, and I spend I remember, Danny, September 24th, I spent all day at my church in the fellowship hall because I knew nobody was coming around on Saturday. And I just met with the Lord and I said, I've been studying the book of James and you're telling me, James is telling me all the things I shouldn't do. Tell me what I should do. Tell me what I should do. And he brought me James 5:16, which says, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. I thought, wow, God is into vulnerability. God is into us just sharing our weaknesses with each other. And then we can pray for each other.
Well, as you just mentioned that, Dave, I think this is the right moment. Will you pray for our listener, someone who may be going through their own bump in the road at this very moment? Will you pray for them, please?
Sure. Lord Jesus, we pray for the listener or the listeners who need to open themselves up to you. Give them the courage to say what's on their heart to you, to not just hide it under a rock, to be open with you, to lay it out there, to be honest with you, and even use words out loud and exclamation points just to feel that you're listening. And I know that you listen, and I know that you care. I know that you have the power to provide assurances to our friends and our listeners, and that you'll meet their need. Lord, please meet the needs of our listeners today. Help them to know today that you will guide them as they submit to you and as they love others and just wait on you. And just wait on you to give them comfort or to slow life down long enough so that they can spend quality time with you tomorrow and the next day and the next day, so that they grow in their relationship with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dave, thank you for your tenderness. Thank you for your sharpness of mind and your love for people. Yet again, I appreciate you being with us and sharing from your heart. Thank you.
You're welcome, Danny.
Engaging words from Reverend Dave Tom, CambridgeRoundtable.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, hey, this might be that perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there. If you'd like to join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, drdanny.live. And let me thank you in advance. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Reverend Dave Tom, CambridgeRoundtable.org. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.